guardian angels, and patron saints. Pray for us. I tell you, the time is running out. The world in its present form is passing away, says St. Paul. Addressing the Corinthians, he advises them to treat the world as this passing thing that is not certain and cannot be relied on. And in fact, what seems to be Paul's advice here is to have as little as possible to do with it, and more or less to withdraw. It'd be easy to interpret what he says here as basically saying this is an impossible standard that only the super religious can keep up with, or maybe a monk or a nun, right? Someone who's completely withdrawn from the world, lives a life of poverty, chastity, obedience, right? Put all their hopes in the life of eternity and nothing here below. That would be to misinterpret, I think, what St. Paul is saying here. That's only the kind of advice that the sort of saintly people withdrawn from the world can obey. But in fact, it's important for us who live in the world to also try to understand and live by this teaching, not by withdrawing from it, but by the spirit of detachment. That's the word. That's the word that summarizes and captures for us what St. Paul says when he says, those having wives should act as if they didn't have them. Those who weep should act as if they're not weeping. Those who are using the world should act as if they're not using it at all. Detachment. What does it mean to be detached? Today, I want to read to you from a book that I've been reading in preparation for my upcoming trip. I'm going to be leaving for the next couple of weeks, taking some time away for somewhat of a pilgrimage. It's also going to be a vacation, I'll be honest. It'll be restful. But we're going to visit some of the holy sites in Spain, Montserrat, and especially Avila and Segovia, which are where the Spanish Carmelites lived and taught. So I've been reading this book about St. John of the Cross by Father Donald Haggerty. St. John of the Cross, Master of Contemplation. It's a book on prayer and his teaching on mysticism. And I found it to be very, very beautiful. Lots to meditate, reflect on, and learn. And I wanted to share with you some of the passages about detachment that St. John of the Cross describes and writes about. And part of the reason why I wanted to go to Spain in the first place was, in a sense, to kind of thank him for some of the insights that I was given through meditating on his writing. Yes, just to say, we would run out of ink, paper, and time were we to describe the harm that afflicts the soul when it turns its affection to temporal things. Something very small can lead to great evils and destroy remarkable blessings, just as an unextinguished spark can kindle immense fires capable of burning up the world. All of this harm has its origin in one main thing embodied in the withdrawal from God. Just as approaching God through the desire of our hearts and our wills can give rise to every good, so too withdrawal from him through affection for creatures breeds every harm and evil in the soul. The measure of the harm reflects the intensity of the joy and affection with which the person is joined to its creaturely desire. For in that proportion, it withdraws from God. He goes on to explain the pattern of how you and I typically live this out. And tell me if this sounds familiar to you. So, in our desires and our attachments and our delights, our inclinations, right, we notice that certain things give us delight when we choose them. So we experience a desire for something. We choose it. And then we take satisfaction in what we've chosen. Well, that was nice. I want this. I'm going to go get it. And man, was that great. Now, the momentum doesn't stop. Once it's activated, it returns and it repeats itself so that the will finds itself rotating back. St. John of the Cross describes this, turning back. I rotate back to my choice. And then this cycle begins. And my life starts to take on a circular quality. And that's like being trapped in some ways, right? I go back to the same things over and over again. I enjoy them, and I seem to experience delight in them, but in fact, I'm not going anywhere. Right? That's where we begin to experience the harm of attachment to creatures. Habits of repetitive sin here, and when I'm talking about attachments, we're not always talking about sin, but when we find ourselves caught in sin, these habits follow this pattern, the same pattern of desire, indulging a choice, and then temporary and fleeting delight, only to find ourselves back in that same desire where we start again. This harms the person because the mind itself, says St. John of the Cross, is dulled in its relationship with God. So he's explaining, here's why. Here's why God feels far away. Because I'm in that little circle. It doesn't have to be. You might be thinking, okay, are we talking here about like addicts? You're talking about kind of pathological gamblers? Yeah, we're talking about them. We're also talking about just ordinary things, simple things. Little daily indulgences that don't let our soul experience freedom for God. In fact, in other places in St. John of the Cross's writings, he talks about the soul as a little bird. He compares it to a little songbird. Imagine a little sparrow on a perch. And he says, if that bird is tied to the perch with a steel wire or with a thin silken thread, it doesn't really matter. Until that bond is broken, the bird will never be able to fly. Until that bond is broken, the soul will never be able to experience freedom for God. Now, the part that really spoke to me, he says, how common is this truth to this very day, even among those dedicated by a chosen profession as priests or religious to the service of God. Now, this came at a point in my life where I was experiencing a little tie in my life. Over the last probably 6 months or so, one of my kind of side little indulgences has been smoking. I love to smoke. Now, cigars and pipes are usually what I choose, but I became, I would say, probably pretty attached to my daily cigarette. And then it became twice a day. It never got out of control. I was never smoking excessively. Oh, maybe you think any kind of smoking is excessive, but it wasn't crazy. I wasn't running everything in my life. I wasn't smoking a pack a day or anything like that. But I'd look forward to it. I kind of organized my afternoon around it. At some points, you know, when it was hard to get up in the morning, I'd say, well, if you get up, you can go sit on the porch and light up. And I began to notice that every time that happened, I was becoming less and less inclined to spend time in prayer or to thank God for things or to adore him or to love him in any way or even think about him. Because I had something to do. Now, there's all sorts of justifications for why this was a good thing. I always had, it helped me think. I always had great ideas when I would not smoke. It's where my best inspirations came. That's what I told myself, right? When I read this, I knew, nope, this has got to stop. And for reasons other than my own personal health or longevity or anything like that, right, which all were all also factors in it. But the real reason is because St. John of the Cross says the pursuit of these satisfactions can dominate the soul in ways that don't necessarily involve grave sin, but they pour sand upon what would otherwise be a fire of longing for God. That struck me to the heart, and I said, okay. So I got my patches, and thanks be to God, I'm off of it for now, right? I'm free of all that. And I noticed in the course of that kind of growing detachment from the pleasure and the satisfaction of nicotine, I especially noticed it one morning where I was offering Mass. One of the highlights of my week is to offer Mass with the kids here at school. It's just a beautiful consolation. All the kids here together, we're praying together. It's a beautiful time. But I forgot my patch one morning. You didn't want to be around me that morning. Here I am around, like, the highlight of my week. Everybody's here. Kids are super sweet and devout. And, man, I was just like, get out of my face. Get away from, why do you exist? Go away. And I put that patch on, and a half an hour later, I was a new man. I went, okay, this is a bigger deal than I thought. And I have a lot more sympathy for people who are trying to get clean. If I had that kind of just struggle for months for nicotine, imagine other stuff that we're trying to get free of, right? That's much more addictive, much more kind of crushing in its demands. I have a lot more sympathy. But whether it's a strong steel wire or a thin silken thread or even a little tendril of smoke, the soul will not rise if it is held captive and that bond is not broken. That's what St. Paul calls us to. That's what he's inviting us to pray for, is a spirit of detachment. Not that any of these things are necessarily bad in and of themselves, but when we circle around back to the satisfactions that they provide, we lose the desire for God. And that is ultimately where the satisfaction we're longing for is to be found. It's not fleeting. It's not temporary. It's not always as pleasurable, but it is the only thing that truly grounds us. It's the only thing that really frees us. Love for God, resting in Him, loving Him, letting our minds and our wills reach out to Him, and experiencing, sometimes even in the emptiness of that longing for Him, the fulfillment of the true longings of our hearts. So take some time today, pray about where you might be experiencing that little rotation, that little eddy, that little whirlpool that's got you trapped. And look at it and say, what if I were to spend that time, instead of that look, reaching out, choosing, and then being satisfied in that kind of temporal good, however small, however fleeting it might be, what if I were to use that to pray and ask for the desire for increase in the love of God? Lent's a long way off, but we don't have to wait till then to practice mortification and recognize the ways in which our desire for God is having sand poured on it every day instead of flaming up and driving us into further progress and sanctification and virtue. We can do that right now. It can happen anytime. So my hope, I'm gonna go spend some time with some friends of mine, hopefully taking some time for prayer, looking at those things again in my own life that I can begin to be detached from so as to be more and more attached to God. Meditate today, too, on the scene in the gospel where Andrew and Simon and John and James are called by Jesus, and they set aside their whole life's work, the business that they've created, right? They drop them and they leave them where they lay, the nets and the boats and even the relationships in their lives, because Jesus has called them. Now, he's calling them to something greater. It's not always pleasant to be a follower of Jesus. To be an apostle ultimately means being called to lay down your life for him. But they show us what the big freedom that's been practiced in the little choices of every day looks like. God graced them in that moment with the chance to be able to see clearly what's at stake. And in freedom, to be able to say yes to that call. Maybe we don't experience the direct call of Jesus to become an apostle, but we do experience the call to be drawn into greater love and desire for the sanctification that he offers us. And so as we pray today, through the intercession of the saints, especially through Miguel Pro and through John of the Cross, may we grow in that grace of detachment that we might experience the freedom for God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.